Welcome to Opportunity Knocks. I can't believe I'm saying this. Episode 7. This is incredible that it's going by this quick and I'm having this much fun. This is awesome. Thank you guys all for listening and watching and following me on this journey as I build businesses in 2024. You know, today's a special one because we all spend so much time on, you know, brand and a name. Like, what do I name my company? We're starting a company. What's the logo going to be? And I move it here. There's so many. And then at the end of the day, isn't it really built over time? I mean, look at Google, look at McDonald's, look at these brands that if I told you I was naming this company Google before Google even came around, you'd say you're crazy. I mean, Google sounds like no one, what is it? And it's built its name over time. No one taught me better than this than our guest today. He's a really good friend of mine. On top of that, he's a genius, this guy, when it comes to branding and positioning the brand and stuff. So I'm, even though today is technically the solo day of me just doing it by myself, I said, Mike, I'm going to need you. I'm like Joe Torre calling me from the bullpen. I said, I need a reliever here. And he literally saved my day. Let me give you the backstory before I introduce Mike. So as I'm building this home service business, which I've talked about, and I said, you know what? What I'm doing is I'm consolidating, I'm organizing a very fragmented industry, right? With this platform, this technology. And I came up with the name One Home Service. And I showed, you know, a couple people and I don't like it. One, that's the name that, you know, and I don't know if you don't know what you don't know. And branding and coming up with a name, it's just not my strength, you know. But one of the things that I think we're going to learn through this journey is we're not good at everything. And if you can identify what you're not good at and audible that and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to find somebody who's good. It goes back to the network. This is why your network is so important. I literally made a call to Mike a couple of days ago and told him, you know, here's, what do you think about this? And I always thought Mike's background was in production film. And it turns out he's got an incredible resume. Mike was the vice president of marketing and creative for NBC. I mean, he's a rock star. And I always knew that, but I just thought he did something else. So when I started telling him this, he was firing back with these like incredible, I'm like, man. And then all of a sudden he drove to my house and that, without an invite, he said, I'll help you out. That's the kind of guy he is. So with that, I want to introduce Mike. Mike, so glad you're here, man.
Hey, man.
You're saving me, brother.
No problem. I'm glad to be here. I'm a fan of what you're doing so far.
Thanks, man.
And watching, and I think this is great.
So, awesome, man. Thank you. And look, it's all about collaborating and working together. And I know you're a big believer in that. And I really thank you for coming out and doing that. So let's take us through the process and going back to what I was doing, which is figuring out what's the right name. And by the way, the first guy that I hired, Mike, was online. I found a freelancer. And I said, here's the business. And I laid it out, you know, like kind of wrote a paragraph and said, here's what I want to do. And the first design he sent me, I said, this is great. You know, because again, I'm not sure what I'm looking at. So either way, I also didn't want to waste too much time on this process and say, I got to get this thing started. I'd like to know when I showed it to you, you know, what was your thought of it and what'd you think about it? And then from there, was it like, you know what, this is good, we got to change this completely, you're going the wrong way? Tell me kind of like your thought process.
So my first thought process, I mean, like, you know, Fiverr and Upwork and those things, those actually can be really good tools if you don't know what you're doing, right? It's a cheap way to just put that first, you know, the shitty first pancake, if we can say that, you know, the Simon Sinek would call it, just to kind of get something out there. And I think, you know, you had some stuff to work with. I think the colors were good. It was gray. It was blue. Psychologically, blue implies trust, you know, for people. Mm. You know, red is energy. Yellow is optimism. And orange is optimism. You know, these are things that your brain is just wired to do. So
okay.
I think you found a few things there. And then I think by the time we're done, you're going to be a little more bullish on One Home Services than you probably already
Sweet.
Were. And the reason why I say that is, you know, we spent a lot of time, right? I mean, you know, McDonald's has nothing to do with hamburgers. What was a Google? I remember where I was the very first time I heard that in 1998 or 1999. Somebody said, did you Google that? I said, what? right. A guy named Bill Mullins in Detroit. A Yelp review. What is that?
Yeah.
So it's not, we spend a lot of time agonizing over the perfect name up front. But what I say is you got to think about the shorthand of it. And so, you know, why I think this is going to work is if you do this really well, I don't think people over time are going to call this one home services. I think they're just going to start calling it one home. Okay. I was sitting, you know, at a bar one time with a buddy who we know, and he was thinking about starting an agency. This is an anecdote that will make some sense. And he was thinking about starting an agency called something like Never Done Improving. Okay. We were at a sports bar. There may or may not have been some beer involved. I'm like, you can't do that. He said, why? I said, because the shorthand of that, think about that in a department head meeting or something. You know, did you send that invoice to Never Done? Did you get that proof from Never Done?
Yeah. Said, put it in conversation. And it doesn't.
And it doesn't work. I spent a really good time. I run in a thought leadership circle with somebody who used to run marketing for the Miami Dolphins. And she was in a leadership position at Target when Target became a thing. And I remember her telling me a really cool story. She said, they had conversations about, should we run with this? And ultimately, they decided not to. They said, because that belongs to the people. The people created that. Oh, and if we take that over, then it's corporate.
Hijacking
it's
almost.
Not in school. It's hijacking, right? So I think you're going to end up being one home.
I love that, by the way. And I never thought of one home. I always thought you have to explain one home service, three letter word. It's not, you know, or three words, a logo. And I'm like, it didn't, I don't know. And then one home, hearing you say that.
It starts that way. And you call it one home service, but, you know, I can see a husband and wife, you know, like, oh, hey, you know, we got to fix the windows, you know, look it up on one home. Or, you know, hey, we need a roofer to check one home.
So you're taking the name and putting it into real life scenarios. Yes. I like that.
Yes.
I never did that. I never. And even at a networking event, you know, like when you stand up and say, hey, I'm one home, it tells you we're and that's why I came up with that. So I passed the test, I guess, the first test.
Yeah, whether it's by accident or not. And then visually, you know, like I'm not a musically inclined person, but I've heard people who are like they can hear music and see notes. OK, I don't do that, but. When I saw that, I saw the shapes. So now if you think about it, one home is actually really nice because they're short words, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. And then O-N-E-M. All those letters, if you put them in a square, think about that. Like the M hits all four quadrants. E hits all four quadrants. The O, even though it doesn't hit the corners, it's literally balanced throughout. As opposed to like an I or a Y or an F or something. So, you know, when I looked at that first logo, I'm like, there's some bones here, but it was all off. The spacing is off. The alignment is off. And then, you know, if you're somebody who knows you need to know a little bit about design, but don't know anything about it, it's something called the squint test. Have you ever heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the squint test is if you see
squint. Right.
If you take a logo or something and you squint at it, that will show your brain subconsciously what it processes first. Okay.
Okay.
So if you squint the logo that you give, the only thing that pops is one. So then the question becomes, is that what you really want people to see? I would argue probably not. You either want that home logo with the check mark, which is like your secondary, or you want it to say one home.
Mm-hmm.
So by just making a very simple change with color adjustments and how you space that out, you can line up that one home. So when you squint at it, one home is what you see. Now suddenly you're onto something.
That's
but then
awesome.
I was also thinking, you know, how you can line up some shapes. And for people who are watching this, you know, you'll be able to see it. We'll put it on the screen. You know, if you take the number one, there are some ways to just, you know, kind of morph the one into the home. And before you know it, you've got a much more compact logo, a bolder logo, one that really stands out. So
let me ask you on that, because that's something that I thought about as you're talking about the actual number one, right? So the number one with a domain, how do you play that? Like, is it important? Are you saying that that's a variation of the logo would be the number one?
It's kind of built in there.
Okay.
So it's like there's two ways to do it. You know, I mean, like if you took just say the left edge of an H, right? What if you just put a little one out there and then the rest of it is out there? And you know, and we'll see this on screen. You're gonna see it's a lot bolder. It looks very, very cool.
So you know what I get confused is that I and McDonald's just with an M is a perfect example. You see the M and that's what or the Nike is a but I don't know if it's not good. I don't think, but I always think about it's got to be the domain. I don't want people to not know it, but it doesn't, right? Yes. You see the logo. It's like, that's that company. It's one home or whatever the URL is, right?
Right.
It's
what you're talking about is called the secondary mark.
Okay.
So like that, you know, the Nike swoosh would be the secondary mark. Google, you know, they just use the G. That's called the secondary mark. For yours, it would be that home
with icon. With the one. Okay. Like and that would be on like Facebook, on like
your app icon. App icon was kind of done for you already, right? Or your favicon. If you type in a URL, it's, you know, you could still spell out what, you know, on your domain and whatnot. Like,
yeah.
But
it's a secondary one. It's called. It's okay. Called
the secondary.
Didn't know that.
Because you need a horizontal mark, because there's going to be places where a horizontal logo, where your logo appears horizontally. You need a vertical, because there's going to be some times where you need to stack it. And then you need what's, you know, called the secondary mark. Or like think of your favorite sports team, right? I mean, like any logo, that would be
exactly,
you know, like their secondary mark. So
by the way, when you were explaining that stuff and you were going deep into that, which was amazing, you ever seen that meme where the guy's counting like fractions and it like the numbers are coming up?
Yeah.
That was me.
Yeah.
I'm going, what the hell is he talking about? That's good stuff.
Now, a lot of that, I mean, you talk about McDonald's, and like those have crossed over. They're in the cultural zeitgeist right now. Mm-hmm. So you know what that is. It's like their secondary mark became their primary mark. But for companies that are just starting out, you know, that's what that would be. So
awesome.
You gotta
and then you build it over time. I mean, these are companies that are 50, 60, 80 years. I mean, they're,
exactly
it's not
right.
like a.
Exactly right.
Yeah, so. That's great stuff. Now, let me just take you back too. So at that time, I hired this freelancer, came up with this. I knew I was a couple months out before. So I just, it was good. It was actually good that I did it, just to see something instead of like no logo at all, or just like I saw the logo as I was talking to my developer and building this, it kind of inspired me a little bit, if you will, you know? So just having that was good. But at the end of the day, I didn't have brand guidelines. I didn't know what, you know, and how important is that? And then I'm going to tell you what I did. Again, I might have done it backwards, but that's why, again, you're here with the Superman cape to save the day. But I basically put out an info on Fiverr. I found a branding guy, and I put it out there. And, you know, I said, here's what I had before. Here's what I want. And then I shared that with you, what he came. Some unbelievable slow. I like how, like, some of the names maybe didn't work, but a lot of the work he did was good. But again, I feel like I'm all over the place with the brand, right? How much of a mistake is that? If somebody's starting a business and they're listening to this, what's the right way to go about, you know, I know it's not the way I just did it, and that's okay, but what's the right way to do it? Is it to start before you do anything, is find a name and a domain name and then start the, or is it to work with a brand, somebody like you who knows and how to do this? And can you walk us through that process?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's a silver bullet answer, because I've done it both ways, right? Sometimes the logo pops in the visual. Other times it's, I mean, here's the thing. You always got to start with what problem am I solving and who am I solving it for, right? And work backwards from that. But I'll tell you why I thought that brief was really good. When you showed me the logo, I'm like, that kind of fit the visual of what we were doing. And then you showed me the creative brief for sort of that brand plan, which was really well done, but it was a total 180. So that's where you're at a fork in the road,
right?
On who are you going to serve? Because your logo, again, kind of is man of the people stuff. The creative brief was in like cream color palettes and serif-y fonts. It looked very elite, you know? So are you going for an uber high-end consumer, or are you going for, you know, sort of that, you know, upper middle class person who is able to outsource some of these home things, but also, you know, is trying to mind the bills,
like,
you know. And I lean towards the logo and that look, because, you know, my wife and I remember we were in Houston, you know, we were there, we were both working full time, so we were doing well, but we're far from rich, you know. But we had somebody who cut the lawn and a lady who came to clean the house once a month, and, you know, we would get power washed twice a year. I'm like, wow. Where do we get a staff from? You know, all of a sudden all these people in this is, but, you know, it was very, we're, you know, very average folks. And I think you also have to keep in mind on the back door, when people come into your app, what are most of your roofers and pool cleaners and landscapers? They're going to look more like the logo than the creative. Okay. So I would lean more towards that, the bolder colors, the non-serif fonts, the stuff that speaks to the common person more than this uber upscale audience. You know, it was the creative brief was a little pinky up to me.
That's great feedback. Let me add one more element to that, because I'd love to hear your thoughts while we have you here. This is awesome, by the way. So the part of me, remember, I'm not making the money doesn't come from the homeowner, but what the competitors, I guess we'll call them, Angie's List and these companies that they're basically lead companies for the, so their end user is the vendors, the businesses, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like I want to, and why I started this company is I want to reverse that. I want it to be about the homeowner, even though they're not my client. I'm not making money. They are my client because without them, it doesn't work. The model doesn't work. But the revenue's coming from the, and I haven't even gotten into, I don't know if I've told it to you, but a big part of this app is, this platform is that there's a networking element to the vendors that are on, that are paying me. So there's the competitors that are paying me are a big time client because obviously that's the revenue that generates, but there's also a networking internally between the 30 industries. I connect them together in a really cool way, which I'll get into more but my challenge with listening to what you just said is I'm not really sure who my end user is. It was in the beginning, the homeowner. That's all I care. Cause that's really, I want it to be just the most powerful thing. They're never going to have to worry about get ripped off. They're going to save time. They're going to save money. They're going to, it's for them. Cause there's an opportunity in that. But then there's also all I'm doing for the vendor. So it's like, do I do half and half or do I go like, you know what I'm saying?
I was thinking about it from the homeowner perspective.
Okay.
So let me walk through the user journey, right? So I've downloaded the one home services app that may ultimately be One Home. You know, if you were to take what the creative brief looked like, and that was your opening facade, and it's kind of a bougie, scripty font, kind of light creep, then when I get in there and I start seeing the list of all the vendors, if they look like the blue collar companies that they usually tend to be, it's going to look very different. Like the facade of the house is going to look different than the interior when you get in there. Versus if you use sort of the logo in that move, I feel like it's a more unified experience. Like, okay, I know what I'm signing up for. This is a cohesive brand. So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. Good. So I had the creator brief and then I had the logo done by two separate people.
It showed.
Yeah. So that's mistake one, which is good that we're talking about it now because we want to fix that before it goes live and it goes, right? We want that to be. So
let me. It depends on what you consider a mistake. I mean, you have to iterate. It's great to see both things and you can choose, you know, or maybe you're like, hey, I only want this app to be for, you know, people who make.
But honestly, if I didn't have you, if I didn't have you talking to me and kind of guiding me with this, I wouldn't know. Yeah. And I wouldn't have known any of that, what you just said. And that's gold for this podcast is to hear you talk about how colors and just little like this the letter that your name is depends because you could put it up against them. I mean, I never would think of that stuff. So, you know, I guess from here moving forward, is it that I reach out to the first designer or do we even have to reach out to him or how does that work? Because again, these are freelancers that I don't have a relationship with. Is it something that I say, let's take what I have now and not start over, but like just, what's the next step you think for me?
Well, now I think you merged the two. The creative brief was very good. Okay. And I don't want anybody to like you know, hear this and think there was a lot of great nuggets in there. And a couple, there's something brilliant in there that was not part of the slogans, but it was about your home should be a source of joy, not stress.
Yes.
And I think there's something you can mine in that, you know, more joy, less stress or more joy, no stress, which didn't show up as like a slogan in there. You could build around that. I can appreciate that as a homeowner. I want to enjoy my house. I don't want constantly worried about like, you know, what's going to, you know, break and who I have to hire to fix it. So I think visually the creative brief may have been off. Content wise, I think there's a lot of good stuff in there. So, you know, again, I think Fiverr and Upworker can be really good sources for that, you know, first draft of stuff.
Sure.
And then you may want to call in somebody who's a little more cohesive,
exactly.
who knows a little bit more about what you're trying to do, you know, and kind of refine it from there. I think it helps you define, you know, like I said, it pools two audiences. Do you want a more elite crowd or do you want, you know,
I want everybody to use this, not just upper middle class, but how I'm targeting it starting out just because, you know, the area we live in, Parkland, Florida, is an upper middle class, you know, it's middle class, upper class, upper middle class. And the thing that I hear a lot of people say is I never know when somebody's coming to do an estimate, if they hear that I live in Parkland, the price goes up. Mm-hmm. And that's no way to, as a homeowner, you don't want that, you know, loss of control. That's kind of how it was born, or, you know, the idea originally was through that having control of your, and it's funny when I asked the original, logo guy, I said control is a big word, you know, because you're gaining control of your home. You don't have to, like you said, I got a staff here. What the heck? You know, I've got all these people working.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, knowing who you are, knowing who I, you know, we didn't grow up, you know, we worked hard to get what we have. I don't think I'll ever get to the point where like, I'll just write a blank check. You know, I tend to like, you know, the concept of this is for people who are still cost conscious.
Sure.
You know, yeah, I can outsource, you know, I can make better use of my time than whatever, mowing my own lawn or fixing my own faucet. But I still care. I still want a good deal. I still, you know, money matters to me. I still want to send my kids to college. Like, to me, that's your crowd.
That's
and
right.
If that's the case, yeah. Then, and it sounds like we're talking through that.
Yeah.
This is how you iterate. This is how you find out who your audience is, which then works into all sorts of stuff. Cause I also do, you know, targeting and then where you're going to market it. You know, you're going to do it on connected TV or OTT or, mm-hmm. or, you know, Facebook or Google Ads. You know, you can set all those parameters on how you want to target it based on where they live and their income levels and all that stuff. That all becomes part of the equation.
So that's a perfect segue to the next thing. So we're talking about brand and, you know, logo and name and all this stuff. We spent a lot of time on that, which I'm glad we did, but your background is in digital and, you know, you, I mean, it's running a digital team and doing that. So you understand that part of it. The first part is your brand, your identity. And then the second part is distribution, right? Mm-hmm. How do you get it out in front of the right people? And, you know, to answer your question about where one her home service is going to start and how we're going to do it, I'm going to do grassroots to start. You know, I have a lot of relationships here. It's in Parkland. And you know, I'm going to have homeowners that live in Parkland and South Florida, you know, use it. And I want people that are transparent. I want them to tell me everything that's wrong. Of course, I want to hear some good stuff too, but it's okay for the first month to hear all the bad stuff because that's how you get better. You know, no different than the logo that I did. You know, you can't improve something if you don't know, you know, how to improve it. So that's the part where I really want people, you know, everybody who's involved in watching this and watch this journey to just download the app, sign up and use it when it's available. You know, it's going to be one home, by the way, I'm excited. And we're all going to know it as one home. I'm excited to see. Can you show me a little? Let's take a little peek.
Let's do it.
I'm getting excited here.
All right. So here's what you had. And, you know, you do it on your phone, or I'm on my phone, but we'll put this up for you on the screen.
Okay. Yep.
So as you can see, if you squint at that, what do you see?
One.
We see one, right? Yeah. So, you know, if that was your goal, great. But I would argue you want one home.
Yes.
Right? And then you can even see how the spacing is a little off on the home services.
Yes.
It's not there. So now, even just taking the exact logo you had.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
So now you move one home to one thing and you make that the same color as the blue.
Yeah.
It's more pleasing to the eye.
Yes.
The service spaced out below. Okay. And you still have your icon. Or, you know what I was saying? There are other ways to.
Wow. You know, I like that.
Your icon. Now, again, the O, the N, the M, the E, those are all levers that space out really well. Okay.
And so the O, now that would be a totally different logo. So
this is a different.
This is not the option. That's not secondary, like you said.
This is not secondary. But then I also this one came, and this is my preferred one of all of it.
Oh, because it's got the one too.
It's got the one where it's a little clearer, but it still says one home. So now
we've taken
the letter one. We've made that the left edge of the E.
That's awesome.
Okay, you've still got the home, which sort of fills that space, you know, around the O. And then you got service. It's bold. It stands out.
I love it, man. That is cool. Right?
So, I thought it's a lot of potential. And again, this is just something I did in like 8 or 10 hours, you know, of thinking about this. So,
that is awesome, man.
Even I do that too. Like I know, you know, I'm enough of a designer to be dangerous, but even I'll still at some point go like, okay, here's an idea. Let me call in a real person who only does graphic design.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, how do you get it to the point where you can communicate what you ultimately want to see? And then sometimes you got to realize, all right, I've run the baton as far as I can here. Let me pass it off
to
the professional. But, you know, it's cost effective that way because, you know, you're not paying some, you know, super elite designer.
Exactly. $20,000.
$20,000. You know, I can do that and then just, you know, do a little spit shining. And there's all sorts of ways for, you know, businesses who are just starting out to do it. But, you know, I say don't overthink it.
You know
that color palette. You can find that. Like you can Google that or we can link to it in your YouTube profile. There's a couple ways. I always ask people, and I told you this story. I was in Houston once and the commercial unit was having this really tough time with a client. I think we could say Gulfgate Dodge. They were, they knew what they wanted, but they couldn't articulate it. And I said to them, they came to me and they said, Mike, we need your help. I said, have them give you three adjectives for how they would want someone to describe their business. One of those three adjectives was dynamic. I'm like, I got it. Okay. So what we did, we took the two G's in Gulfgate. We had them fly behind the camera and did a light pass. And then they revealed Gulfgate. And it was
dynamic. Yeah. And that's what they told you what it was.
They told me what it was. Yeah. You know, so what it was, everybody loves to hear their own ideas back. Right. And they're like, this is great. And that was the one. We solved it like that. So, you know, think about that. When you think about those three adjectives that you want somebody to associate with a business, and don't go to five, don't go to six, because nobody's going to do that.
Okay.
You know, the consumer, you know, make sure that your colors and your shapes and everything that goes with it, you know, looks like that. You know, maybe bold is one thing that's different than elegant. You want to think about it. Just think about it in your mind for a second. Yeah. Right? Bold and energetic brings a visual to you. Elegant and refined is a whole different thing. It's different fonts, different shapes.
So mine is colors. Trust.
Yours is trust. And that's why blue is sort of a universal color of trust.
That was my luck.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. I think you stumbled onto a few good things. So I know you're kind of like, I just kind of made it up. And I don't think it's that good. I think it's better than you think.
Awesome. Awesome.
And, you know, I looked it up, and there are easy ways to search for trademark. And you have a lot of trademark ability. It's called the TEST, the USTO test database. You can Google and you can do a basic search on what's out there. So if you're a new business and you're thinking about doing it, anybody can look
USTO?
USTO, I believe. It's the TEST trademark database.
Or you can just Google TEST trademark.
Just Google TEST. TEST trademark.
There goes that name database. Google again.
Yeah, exactly right. And, you know, and you just do it. And, you know, what's interesting about trademarks is you would think you need to trademark it first. You actually need to use it in practical application first, which kind of makes sense, because otherwise people would be trademarking things left and right and just squatting on it with no intent to use it.
You got
to
have it.
So you have to use it for something first and then file.
Like use it as like put a website up or do something.
Like you could do this. The fact that we're talking about this on this podcast, it's kind of out there in the ether right
now. Got it.
Or if you put it on your website, or at least you have some business cards or something, just to say, I am serious about using this trademark in some capacity. You know, because remember, people used to do that with URLs all the time. They would just squat on some URL in hopes that one day somebody would go, oh my God, they're going to pay me $30,000 for this because, you know, I bought some
TigerWoods.com.
TigerWoods.com. Exactly right. So it's the same thing with trademarks.
Yeah. Let me tell you, man, this is amazing. These 30 minutes have been incredible. It's been about an hour and a half for Mike, because he helped me with the lighting too. On top of that, what a great guy he is. So, Mike, where can people find you at, man? I mean, is it online? Your business is
VanBreeMedia.com. You can find me there. You know, and I love talking about this stuff. So, free advice whenever it comes. You can look me up on LinkedIn.
We got to get you on a pod. You get your own podcast going too, man. I got a studio on wheels. If
there
you need
you
it,
go. Oh man,
you're more than welcome to use this.
I'm like giving the spotlight to others. So I'm glad you're here, and I'm here to help, and I hope you have me back sometime.
For sure, man. Always count on me for that, man. That goes back to what we talked about in the last one, which was giver's gain. You know, networking doesn't work if you just think about yourself. It's always about how to give and help others, and Mike's a testament to that. And man, I appreciate you much, man. Thanks, my man.
You got it.
All right. And that concludes this episode of Opportunity Knocks.